Welcome to Chamber Talk with North Orange County Chamber. I'm Andrew Gregson, and today's guest is the Honourable Art Brown, who is currently the Mayor of the City of Buena Park. Art, thank you very much for coming here today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Mayor Brown, you are a long resident of Buena Park. You're also a retired Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant, and you also served in Los Angeles Deputy Sheriff. And you were first elected as a member of Buena Park City Council in 1990. And this is actually your eighth time serving as a mayor of Buena Park, which has got to be a Guinness Book of Records here in Buena Park. So good job. Well done.
Thank you.
One of the things that stood out to me an awful lot as I was reading through the different bios that are online about you is that throughout your career, there's one thing that consistently keeps popping out, and that's the giving back, which is remarkable. What inspires you to have that sort of service before self dedication?
I think it was instilled in me by my mother, who always said I should always give back to the people, give back to those who give to me, make it possible. So it's always been a thing to do. It was just something my mother taught me, and I just continued through life doing that.
Well, God bless her. She was an amazing woman, obviously, because you really did what she asked.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've noticed is that at certain times of the year, you and your wife, you do Santa Claus, and obviously she's Mrs. Claus. Mm-hmm. What got you into that?
One of our former councilmen, his wife was the principal at a preschool, and she asked me one time to do Santa Claus, and I rented a beard in a suit, did the whole thing that way, and I did that for a couple of years, and I got a beard set that was really filthy. So after I wore it that time, I said, I'm going to see if I can grow my own beard. And at the end of a year, it was down about 7 or 8 inches. So I says, I can do Santa Claus now with a real beard. And it's just brought joy to me doing that. My wife and I, we don't have any other children of our own. We've both been on school boards and had kids that way, but raised my niece and nephew. But just the joy of giving to the kids, the smile on their face when they see you and their eyes light up, it gives me more pleasure, I think, than the kids.
I bet it does. Mm-hmm. I bet it does. Well, you've got remarkable pictures around your office here of it, and thank you again. That's amazing. I love the idea of it. So just off the cuff, if you could have a cup of coffee with a historical figure, who would you choose?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'd like to talk to Ronald Reagan, Dwight Eisenhower, George Patton, a lot of military people.
Sure.
But also, let's sit down and talk to Martin Luther King.
All right. And what type of things would you, what sort of conversation would you like to have?
I saw racism back in the 70s. I took a train cross, actually it was 67, I took a train cross country. I was sitting next to a black airman who was going to a tech school, and we were both going to our first assignments. And we got to El Paso, Texas. He says, I'll see you later. I says, what do you mean? Where are you going? He says, I've got to change cars. I says, why? He says, you really don't know, do you? Well, being born in L.A., I didn't see a lot of that.
Right.
I went to school with mixed races. Well, he says, look out the window. And I looked out, and here's two water fountains, one whites only, the other was blacks only. And my first assignment was Savannah, Georgia, and I really saw racism there. Didn't like it, but it was my first realization of what racism was like, and I would like to talk to Martin Luther King about, hear him speak about it personally, not on a speech, but just talk to him about it.
That's it's really hard for somebody like myself to even really understand that because, A, I didn't live through that time period, right. But B, of course, it was different growing up in a different country.
Right.
And do you, on that point, do you feel, obviously it's changed, but do you feel it's gone in the right direction? What's your feelings?
It's gone in the right direction, but not far enough.
Right.
There's still racism in this country. It's rampant in some areas. It's still in the South is very bad in a lot of areas, but someday we'll
figure it out.
Together. I think it was Rodney King who was infamous for the riot that started, but why can't we all just get along together?
Makes sense. Makes total sense.
It's the same thing with Christians and Muslims, mm-hmm. they both believe in the same God. Mm. They have the same prophets, but they go to war with each other. Why?
Yeah.
You don't quite believe the way I do, so I'm going to, you know, doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's like agree to disagree. You don't have to necessarily go take up arms against it,
right.
Do you? Right. So, Art, over your significant term throughout the on City Council, what would you say was one of the largest challenges you faced, and how did you tackle it?
I think one of the hardest challenges, we went to districts. Mm. We'd always been citywide for elections, and we had to go to districts. And that was really hard on a lot of people because I don't live in your district, but I want to vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
We heard that a lot. And then people came in and says, you know, well, you're disenfranchising me because I can't vote for who's going to be my council person, just my local area, and that's it. I can't vote for the whole council. A lot of people felt very against that. And when we decided, and that came right about the same time we were going to become a charter city, and we got a lot of kickback on that because the unions thought we were going to ruin the arrangements we had with them.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the relationships with the unions came much better. But they came in one day and they had two rats in the back, been dressed in rat costumes. And I says, what would it take to get you guys to leave? I says, we want somebody on the committee that's going to look at this. It says, done.
Mm-hmm.
All you had to do was ask me beforehand.
Right.
It says, and I put a union person on there, and one of the council people says, I object. I want Councilman Brown to remove that person. I says, I respectfully refuse to do that. And the person stayed, had no problem on there. He got along with everybody, and it worked out fine. But when we went to precincts, the voting for one person in an area, I think that was one of the hardest things we've ever done. And it still has repercussions now.
I was going to ask you that. How do you, you know, do you think it's going to change in any way, or do you think it's going to continue like this? And because it's like you say, if there's only one person in that area, there's only one person to vote for, right?
Right.
So it makes it a little bit limited for the people.
Right. And a small city like us, we're around 85,000 people, it's sometimes hard to get somebody who wants to run in a district.
Right, right.
La Palma is even worse. They're going to districts, and they're
much
smaller city.
You're right.
The candidate pool gets much smaller.
Do you feel that there's got to be some positive to it, though? What would you say is a positive side to that?
The positive side is the councilman lives right there in the district and he's easy to reach. You know exactly who to go to. The negative is on that, though, some council people, and I've seen in other cities, I haven't seen it here yet, balkanization. This mm-hmm. is my district. I want everything for my district.
Mm.
And they're not thinking
rather than
the
citywide.
City. Yeah.
Right.
You've got to be citywide.
Yeah.
Whether you're elected by a district or not, you've got to think citywide. Same thing with SCAG, Southern California Association mm-hmm. of Governments. They're a regional body, six counties, but they've got to think of the whole region when they vote for items.
Yeah, that makes total sense, of course.
Yeah.
And we'll move on to SCAG in just a moment. Well, actually, right now. So you've actually served on the board of SCAG, which is the Southern California Association of Governments, as you just mentioned, for several years. And next month, you're going to be the president of the association. For those who aren't quite sure about what SCAG does, do you mind sharing a little bit about what it does and how it assists the residents and the community?
Okay. It's a federal government mandated. It's a metropolitan planning area, MPO. What they do is, in the six-county region, it's Ventura, L.A., Orange, Riverside, San Bernardino, and Imperial County. So all the way to Ventura to the Mexican border. San Diego County has their own MPO. But we do all the planning for air quality, mobility. All the counties, their transportation commissions submit their plans to us, and we say, okay, here's the federal and state money we're going to allocate to you. So they're very important that we work as a metropolitan area, as a region, because everybody has a project going, and we have to fund all these projects. We get millions and millions of dollars for projects, federal money and state money, and we have to allocate it, who it goes to, and who has, you know, two people may submit two plans from two different counties, and we have if they're competing for the same funds, SCAG has to make the vote on which one gets the funding.
That can be difficult.
Very difficult.
Right.
One of the most underfunded counties is Imperial because they're so small population-wise, so they get the least amount of program money. Mm-hmm. You get so much for your region by population. So they have the hardest time. They apply for more grants. Orange County is very good at applying for grants from SCAG. I know City of Santa Ana gets a lot of SCAG grants because they have good grant writers.
So that's the trick.
Very important to have a good grant writer. We've received some grants from SCAG for mostly the traffic related. But we closed down part of Beach Boulevard to show people how to, you could ride a bike or walk on Beach Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the cyclovias in L.A. where they closed down a street and people could walk or ride mm-hmm. their bicycles. It was the same thing. We closed down one half of Beach Boulevard, the northbound lanes from Crescent to La Palma, and people had free use of that whole side of the road.
Well, that's quite a stretch.
Yes.
That's quite a stretch.
But on the air quality side, we do the mobility part. Southern California Air Quality Maintenance District, AQMD, they do the fixed air quality, machinery. One of the ones is the dust produced by wood mills.
Mm-hmm.
It all has to be caught.
So that sort of that sort of folds into maybe when we're looking at being a little bit more greener in our
yes.
areas, right?
Yeah, we study things like vehicle miles traveled
mm-hmm.
and how to reduce that. This is. Buena Park is lucky in Orange County. We're in a transit-rich environment. We have a lot of bus lines here, and we have Metrolink, so people don't have to drive as much if they, they don't want to. One of the 460 bus, LA Metro, goes from downtown LA to Disneyland and goes down Beach Boulevard. If you want to go to Disneyland, you just go out there and get on that bus.
Get there.
Yeah.
Have a fun time and come back.
And don't have to pay that heavy parking fee at Disneyland.
there is a heavy parking fee, yes. You're right. They've gone up over the years too. Yeah. Being part of SCAG, I believe I read online, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's like 191 cities this is an area.
Yeah.
Now you were mentioning just prior to that about the difficulty of being able to run a, represent a district within your city, but then you're able to have to step back and think of all.
Oh, yes.
So now you're sort of running a city, so to speak. Now you have to step back and look at all these other counties. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a hard thing to do. How do you tackle that,
Collaboration. You get your... We have three committees there, transportation, energy and environment, and housing. So... It all goes through a committee first before it goes before the regional council, which we usually have about 51 members in attendance. And they make the reports out from the committees, and usually we follow the recommendation of the committee because they have more time to study the mm-hmm. issue. But a lot of times we'll get in a big discussion about what the committee did and whether or not we think they're right.
Right. Yes, so a lot of looking out.
And the needs of Ventura are completely different from the needs of Imperial County.
Of course. Yeah. I suppose that also gives you, it's experience and knowledge, isn't it? It brings you more knowledge of different areas that probably could help you within your city anyway when you start thinking about it.
Yeah, I've been down to the border and been at the border inspection system for the trucks coming across. There was always a big concern about the trucks from Mexico coming across not being inspected well. So we went down to the inspection station and... if you go through the inspection and don't pass, they park you over the... They don't let you go back to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
They park you over in a parking area and make somebody come in and repair the truck so it's in drivable condition before it can leave the parking area.
Oh, wow.
So as the one sergeant says, every truck that comes through here has an inspection sticker and they're up to date because every time they come through, they have to go through the inspection. You see trucks on the road that are strictly staying in the United States... A lot of them will have an out-of-date inspection sticker because they don't get inspected every time they come through. But every time they come across the border, they have to go through that inspection station.
That's a smart idea, making sure the roads are a little bit more safer.
Right.
That's smart. That's very clever. So, you've been in public service for a considerable amount of time. If somebody was considering a career in public service or wanted to give back and be a part of that, what advice would you share with them?
First thing is to find out what it's about. A lot of council people I know have come through our city council and other city councils. They get on the council and go, I never knew it would be like this. But a lot of people are surprised what we do, because a lot of it is, there's a lot of study that goes on. It takes you a lot of time. I've got three agendas up there from SCAG, the Executive Committee, the Transportation Committee, and then the Regional Council. It's about an inch and a quarter thick.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to at least go through and see what each one's, at least read the synopsis, the executive synopsis, so you understand it. And if you want to, you can get down into the weeds, but you've got to understand what's coming up so that you can intelligently talk about it on when you get out there. Otherwise, you're going to look stupid to the public.
Right. And what would you say were the main type of good characteristics for somebody who was to serve on the council?
Somebody that can remain calm under pressure, because a lot of times you have people in the audience up there at the lectern. They're blasting you.
Mm.
And they can call you anything they want to. Calm, have patience, big time to read the agendas. Don't get caught asking a question that's right there on page two.
Yeah. You mentioned something there that happens a lot, not everywhere, but in certain circumstances, is when there's a council meeting and it's open to the public, that you're right, you know, people can really, they're riled up, but they're not just, you know, it's because they're passionate about what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. And you see it's some type of, obviously, a gift that the folks have. How do you just remain calm and not take that personally and, you know, because, like you say, you just sat there staring at them, listening to what they have to say.
And when they get done, you say thank you.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And next.
Thank you for your input, next.
Right, yeah.
It's something you learn. I learned it in the military and being a police officer, because I've had people, you know, inches away screaming at me. And just, you can't, you know, you just, okay, calm. Don't say calm down. That's a bad thing to say.
Right, right.
But, you know, you talk to them and you try to de-escalate it.
And then sometimes, you know, when folks mention at the public speaking, is that in turn, obviously there's notes taken afterwards. Does some of these concerns then get aired within the council, maybe in closed chambers, or how does that work after?
If it's something, any council person can ask for study on that. Usually if somebody's got a concern there, we'll have somebody talk to them from staff.
Mm.
If it's a police problem, we'll have one of the captains or somebody that's in. We have usually two or three officers in the audience. We'll send them out to talk to them. If it's a city matter, the assistant city manager will go out and talk to them outside in the lobby, try to see what's going on, see if it can't be fixed right away. If it's something really major, a council person can ask for it to come back in a study session item. We take whatever they say seriously.
So you mentioned something there about the police department and, you know, being involved with Bueno Park, because obviously with the chamber for Bueno Park, we hear now and again how I think there was one time Sunny Park was at an event and then she was late actually for the event, and it was because the police had found a child that had been abducted and they were very quick on the mark. And then last couple of, maybe a month or so ago, they'd found a big seize in fentanyl. You want to share a little bit about the police department, because they seem to be extremely amazing here in Bueno Park.
Well, my law enforcement career is 26 years, county marshal, two municipalities, and then retired from the LA County Sheriff's Department. I would say Bueno Park is one of the top police agencies I've seen. That's except for my sheriff's department, of course. But no, they're very good. We get a monthly report on major incidents, and they do a great job of protecting this city. It's amazing the number of arrests they make for major felonies. And we used to have all the really run-down motels in town before we bought them all up and closed them. They were a great source of felony arrests because bad people like to live cheap.
Right, of course, of course.
Yeah.
And on that point, actually, you know, we clearly can see how Beach Boulevard has been cleaned up over the last few years. You want to share a little bit about that? Because that's not an easy task either, is it?
It started back in the 90s when we went to Las Vegas. They have a big show every year. It's hotels, entertainment of venues, restaurants. And they told us there, a couple of the vendors there, says, well, we'd like to come to Buena Park, but your Beach Boulevard is just bad. We don't want to be there. So the city council then decided, well, we've got to clean up Beach Boulevard. We want to, you know, improve it. So as we started code enforcement, we were getting motel complaints from tourists about renting a room online and getting there and find out the toilet's overflowing or there's a line broke from the sewer and raw sewage was coming into the bathroom. So we put code enforcement on that and started cleaning up those motels. And a lot of them just didn't have the funds. They were just taking that money that we're getting and, you know,
running with it.
Running
right,
with it.
Right, right.
So a lot of them decided to sell, and when they became up for sale, we bought them.
Oh, the city bought them?
The city bought
a lot
of them,
okay.
Yeah, and had them torn down and then brought in better venues. That's how we got Medieval Times.
Mm-hmm.
The Pirate Theater used to be a bowling alley, but as those places closed down and we got them out of there, we turned it into something much, much better.
And then that actually leads into another question of mine, really, because it's also to do with, you know, the sustainability of a city. I mean, you know, that's a pretty big expense, purchasing property. So do you then sell that property off to somebody else, or are you just lease that land for a long period of time?
Usually we just sell it off at a profit.
Right. Oh, it makes sense, right?
Yes.
You've got it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it goes into the general fund.
Right.
Sometimes we have to spend a little money on like sewer improvements or something to get a large hotel in. But hopefully pretty soon here we're going to have a venue at what used to be or was going to be the Butterfly Pavilion.
Oh, okay.
We've got, I think it was 3 or 4 bids in to rent something there. So what California does now is you have the Surplus Land Act. Well, that was surplus land because it wasn't used for anything. We had to get the state's approval to use it to be able to sell it. And we just got their approval last week so we can sell it. So now we can take those 4 bids we got, entertainment venues, look at them and see which one we think is the best and then bring that in.
Well, that's excellent.
And not like the movie or the Butterfly Pavilion that has the funding to be able to complete the job.
Right. Now, that's another big responsibility of the council, isn't it, is the stability of the city.
Yes.
What are the types of things you have to look at as a council member when you're looking at, you know, keeping your city stable financially and so on and so forth?
Well, one of the biggest things is somebody that produces sales tax.
The dealerships.
The auto dealer. That was our biggest thing, and I think
through COVID,
cleaning up what used to be Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
Manchester, now Auto Center Row. But getting that cleaned up. Before I came on the council, they were taking a lot of places by eminent domain then. I think it was a trailer park on Malvern. And some other, just run-down places.
Right.
The city was able to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the property came vacant, shopping at the dealers.
Right.
So that was those dealerships along Auto Center Drive just bring in a tremendous amount of funding, more than property tax. Anyway, those auto dealers have been a great thing for the city. And the city pretty much has a good working relationship with them.
Right. And then when you were mentioning about Beach Boulevard and obviously wishing for sort of new investment to come into the city, how does the does sometimes that mean that the city have to change coding for this? What happens there? Is it, are you set? Do you, let's see what's going on. Change your mind? Or?
Yeah, Community Development Department does a thorough study on anybody coming in.
Right.
Normally we don't change codes for people.
Okay,
because
okay.
Because that would just upset everybody
else. Yeah. Right, that makes sense. Yeah.
So when they come in, they're checked out very well.
Mm-hmm.
And if they've done business in other cities, the other cities are contacted, see how they've worked with them.
Mm.
So they're pretty much vetted before they get to the city council. But the first time we hear about it is in study session.
Right.
And they bring it forward and talk to us about it. Sometimes the owners or the developers will come in and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
The development at the Sears property,
mm-hmm. The
apartment houses and condos there, that was over a year ago when they first came to us and told us what they wanted to do. And it's just now getting there, having public meetings now.
Right.
To get public input from people around it. And a lot of it's, what about the additional traffic?
Exactly.
Well, right. One nice thing is we're not going to have to worry about them having to drive somewhere to eat or shop because the mall's right there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a number of restaurants right around there. They could walk to them.
Yeah, right.
So that'll reduce driving.
If you had a magical, wish, what would you like to either start or have completed before your term ended?
I'd like to see a couple more hotels that we've talked about on Beach Boulevard,
mm-hmm.
for the increase in tourism. I'd like to see all our streets fixed again. We're getting to look like some other cities.
Right, close.
Yeah. But the rains really kill our streets.
Right, right. Yeah. Did that make a major impact during the rainy season?
A lot of new potholes.
Right, right.
And as fast as you fill them, another one
pops
up.
Yeah, they're out again. Yeah.
So we've got to do some major repairs on a lot of streets, grind them down and repave them.
Now, that's a big job in itself. Are there certain grants for cities to help with that, or is it just a case of, hey, we're on our own?
No, we get the state gas tax.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you buy a gallon of gas, we get a certain percentage of that comes to us. I think it's a penny a gallon,
mm-hmm.
but still it comes up to a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And we get that money, plus we get grants from OCTA,
mm-hmm.
for roads. And we have a 7-year plan,
mm-hmm.
where every 7 years your street's going to have something done to,
mm-hmm.
it. Right now, just north of Lincoln, and I think it's west of Stanton, we're starting to do streets in that area. That's their turn. But we try to keep our streets pretty good. There's some that get a lot of traffic. They're getting a little worn down, a little frayed at the collar.
Buena Park's busy. It's a busy system. If you had a message to share with folks, whether they're in your current district or in the city themselves, that maybe we haven't touched on, is there anything you'd like to elaborate on or share?
I'd like to see if there's anybody in my district that wants to run for my seat in 2024, because I'd like to see somebody that's common sense and wants to do a good job for the district and the city. You got to think both the district and the city.
100%, yeah. Yes, I see that.
Yeah.
And just out of interest, to say they don't know, what district do you represent?
District 4.
There you go, District 4. Yeah. So if you're thinking of running, please reach out to Mayor Brown. He'd like to listen to you.
South of Crescent and west of Stanton.
Oh, wow, okay. What square area is that?
It'd be the southwest corner of the
All
city.
All right, okay. All right, good.
What some people called the boot.
Okay.
It comes down like the boot of Italy.
All right. Okay, cool. That's awesome. Well, Mayor Brown, thank you so very much for your time today. You are an amazing gentleman. I do appreciate meeting you on many different occasions. So thank you for sharing time with us today on our podcast. I appreciate that. Mm.
Well, thank you for thinking of me for the podcast.
Oh, of course. We wish you all the very best luck in your new endeavors with SCAG, because obviously that's a big position to fill there.
It's going to be a rough one.
It's going to, yes, there's a lot changing, right? right now too.
And you're expected to visit every district, every county.
Really? Oh my goodness. All right, yeah, okay.
So I'll be on the road a lot.
Yeah, you probably are. Yeah, you're going to have to skip some metro links on that one. That's not going to go everywhere. That's true. Yeah. So listeners, we invite you to join our email list by visiting nocchamber.com and selecting sign up for news at the top of the page. For more interviews, visit chambertalk.podbean.com. Help us reach a wider audience by leaving a rating or review on our podcast player of choice. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button.